You know, it's the anointing of God. I mean, without that, it'd just be a club. And we don't need a club. You know, there's enough clubs out in the world, but there's something different about a church because the Spirit of God is there. And that's something that we desire to see manifest in our services and in the lives of the people that attend here, that they come into contact with God and they start to experience Him in a deeper way. Last week, we looked at the topic of God's Word, and we're going to look at it again today to close it out, what we're going to do as far as this goes. And last week, we looked at the what and the why, or the origin and the purpose of God's Word, why it came, why it was given, a little bit about it. And today, we're going to look at it from a different perspective. We're going to look at the how. How does God's Word work in our life? Now, the Bible says that God's Word is profitable to us. Profitable. And most of us are pretty good business people. And we like to have profit. We like to understand how we receive profit in life. Now, we're going to look how it works in our life today that's going to profit us. And sometimes it's all about the ROI. Does anybody know what that is? It's return on investment. You know, I think sometimes we hold back from God because maybe we don't really see the return on investment for the time spent that we do it. And we need to get past that and understand the fact that, you know, when we're going to start seeking God and the things that we're going to receive from it and from the Word, then we're going to start to really go after it instead of trying to avoid it. And that's important in our life. The scripture that we're going to look at again today is in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16 and 17, this is a very familiar passage. Matter of fact, it's been quoted I don't know how many times, you know, over the course of history. You know, I don't know if I've preached on it that much, per se, but I really felt the Lord a couple weeks ago jump this out to me. It says that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You that Your hand is upon us today, Lord, that You have called us into Your kingdom, Lord, and we thank You we've walked away from the deeds of darkness, and Lord, we embrace Your marvelous light. Lord, right now we thank You for revelation knowledge to be imparted to us by the great teacher, the Holy Spirit, that is here today. We thank You for that revelation knowledge to be given to us to be able to help to change our lives so that we can change this world, Lord. I yield to the gift You give me. I use it for Your glory. And I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, a little recap about last week, some things that we looked at. And this message is up on the website if you want to fall back on it if you missed it. The word profitable, we looked at that what it really means is useful, advantageous, or beneficial. Now, I don't know about you, but I look for things in life for myself and for my family that have those options or opportunities. You know, I'm looking for things to get ahead, to try to place myself in a better position to succeed. And that comes in all areas of life, whether it be financial, emotional, spiritual, or whatever the case may be. Now, we looked at the illustration of it was like a miner that was looking for gold. Remember, a lot of people back in the gold rush time would pack up, sell everything they had, or try to throw it in a wagon, and they would head west and go to California, and they would just go out, and in the middle of nowhere, they'd just start digging. Now, I don't know about you. Like I said, I've dug a few ditches in my day. That would not be a fun job. But all they did it because they really believed, based on somebody else's testimony, there was something in there. There could be something down in that dirt or something, you know, in that mine or in that rock or maybe in the river where they pan for it. So with that hope, with that expectation, they dug and they dug and they dug, hoping to find gold. And it's like that with us with the Word of God. You know, there's plenty of testimony. If you won't believe me, there's plenty of other people around there, around this world, that will say that there's something in the Word of God that's going to help you. The Bible says, you know, that it has the ability to change us because there's power in the Word of God and on the Word of God to accomplish that for which it was sent. Now, we define the Word we looked at Very familiar in two ways, the Logos and the Rhema, two Greek words. Logos, as we look at, is kind of like when you're reading the whole Bible. It gives us the big picture of really what God's trying to tell us. It's a general information on how to live. And yes, the Bible is a practical book. It wasn't just written for years and years ago, but actually it does apply to life today. Well, that's the Logos. So as you're reading the Logos, you're just reading and reading and reading, then all of a sudden, boom, something will shoot off the page right in your heart. No, that's the Rhema. And that's what happened to me several weeks ago in Bible school when we were reading the scripture. All of a sudden, the word profitable jumped off the page into my heart. Me with my lightning quick intellect, I knew that, hey, God must be wanting me to see this for a minute. So then I started to explore this thought process for a little bit and followed the Holy Spirit's leading. So that's what Rhema is. It's a personal revelation for the moment. And we love those things. Which one's more important? I believe they're both equally important, because you won't get the Rhema unless you get into the Logos. Because a lot of people get spooky. You know spooky Christians? You know, they pray and they say, God told me this, God told me that. Well, if it doesn't line up with the Word, God's not telling them that. You know, that's why we have to have the Logos. We have to have a practical working understanding of what the Bible says so we don't get stray into error. Then we looked at the idea of being prepared and not scared. Okay, that's why God has given us the Word. One of the reasons is to prepare us for the ministry that He's called us into doing. Each of us has a ministry. Each of us has a calling, something specific and special and unique to you that God has called you to do. And you are unqualified until you get into the Word of God, because the Word of God is what qualifies us. And as we do that, we're going to be prepared to step out and to do things, and we're going to learn as we go just through trial and error. Also, we talked about being adequate and equipped, how that Word of God prepares us also for life. There's a lot of things, as you know, Amanda shared in her testimony today, and different things, you know, how we deal with the battles and the trials and the tribulations and all these things that come against us. Well, I'll tell you, it comes by having something in the reservoir. I don't know about you, but if you have a car breakdown or you have something happen financially, how many find great joy that you know you have something in the bank? All you have to do is write a check. It's going to be good. There's a reservoir there. Well, it's like that with the Word of God. If we get into the Word of God and all the things of God, and we start to get into His system, and we start to learn the process of how He does things, and then when these attacks come, we're going to have something in the spiritual bank that we can draw from. And I can guarantee you this, there's going to come times in your life as you proceed to grow in God that when things that used to take you out of your game, they can't even touch you anymore. Because you've matured. You become stronger in the things of God. And that's the benefit of getting into the Word of God. So as we looked at the other things last week, and that's what they were, today we're going to look at the four things that God mentioned that the Word of God, how it helps us. The first one is called teaching. We all know what teaching is to some degree and how it helps our life. As a matter of fact, I know of two teachers in the room today, at least, that are professional teachers. I mean, they actually do it for a living and get paid. And then we also have some other teachers in the room today that work here at the church. It's free. You know what I'm saying? You know, but they still work as teachers, helping out, trying to explain things. And that's what teaching is about, and that's what the Word of God does for us. It gives us instruction. It gives instruction. You know, we can't come into this thinking that we're a know-it-all, that we understand everything, because we don't. And see, that's why we need the Holy Spirit to season everything that's in the Word of God so that rings truth into our lives. The Bible says, and Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8, that God's ways are not our ways. Yes, we would like to say that we're perfect and we have really a good handle on a lot of things. But primarily, sometimes in life, people, to be honest, we don't get it like God gets it. You know what I mean? You know, and that's why we need to dig a little deeper, get down to where there's maybe the mother load. Amen? That's what we're looking for, is the mother load of revelation instead of the mother load of gold. Although gold would be handy. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, preaching and teaching are very important. Preaching may inspire us, but we also need teaching to get us grounded and have a firm foundation in our life. We need that foundation because when them storms come and our foundation is built upon the rock instead of upon sand, then when things go against us, we're going to understand the process of how to be able to deal with these attacks and whatever thing goes along with that. You know, there's a lot of people that go through a lot of drama in life and a lot of problems in life. And it depends on their level of understanding of the Word of God that will depict how they respond to that attack. And it's important that we respond properly. Now, Timothy was dealing with false teachers, and that's why Paul was writing this passage to him. There was a lot of false teachers that had infiltrated the church because they came from things in maybe a different religion, or and they're false religions, and they were trying to infiltrate the church, and they were bringing their baggage, their wrong theology, into the church. So Timothy, as a young pastor, was having to deal with some of those problems that were coming in. People weren't really understanding the Word of God properly. And that's why Paul was saying the importance of bringing teaching to them, because after they get saved, they need to be taught. You know, we were singing that song today, "I Surrender All." You know, I attended a Billy Graham crusade at least once in my life, if not several. And just thinking about the thousands of people, if not millions of people, that have given their lives to Christ during that song, where they've stepped out of their, or come up out of their chair and they step forward and followed Christ. Well, after they do that, they need to be taught. They need to understand. You know, teaching is very important. You know, most of us probably, unless we homeschool, you know, we're still teaching them, but most of us send our kids to school to be taught for anywhere from 12 to 16 years, give or take. They go on to be in college or things like that, and how important it is. And why do we do that? Because we want them to be prepared. You know, their lifespan's going to be 70 years plus, maybe 80, who knows? So these children that we're sending to school, we're preparing them for that short lifespan. And we want them to be prepared because, to be honest, we don't want them to be stupid, do we? Most of us want our kids to have a decent job so they can support their families and have a somewhat comfortable life. So we invest all this time and all this effort. And how many know that some days their kids don't want to go to school? What do? Oh, you can stay home. You'll be all right. No, you don't. You say, go. Get up out of bed. Come on, get dressed. We're going to school. You're going to learn something. Well, those same parents sometimes won't make their kids go to church once or twice a week. And church prepares them for eternity. Not 70 or 80 years. I'm talking forever. So think about that for a minute. And yes, it's okay to make your kids go to church if they don't want to. You know, some people get this false thing in their head about, well, I don't want to turn them off to church. They're already turned off for some reason. Get them in there. Let the anointing have a chance on their life so that they can receive from God. You know, there's people that get saved falling down drunk in services. You know, because the anointing's there. It can make a difference. And that's why we do what we do. We want to give them a chance to be able to turn their lives around. You know, good teaching does make a difference. And the wisdom, because what it does is that proper teaching under the inspiration of God will give us wisdom and not just information. Now, I ain't going to lie to you. Information's okay. But sometimes we get information burnout. But see, with the Holy Spirit, though, the Holy Spirit has the ability to come into our life and to take that information and turn it from information and give us wisdom on how to apply that information. And that's what makes it real. That's what makes it applicable to our life. That's when we start to get something out of it that I can use. And I think that's what a lot of us want out of life and out of God's Word. We want to get something that we can use. Something that we can use to benefit ourselves, to make it profitable for our lives. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. You know, I heard a quote in Bible school, and it just hit me upside the head. I mean, I've heard it from a lot of stuff from a lot of different directions, but this really helped me. Faith begins where the will of God is known. And I don't know about you, but that just hit me hard. Faith begins where the will of God is known. If we know God's will for our life and God's will, we can grab a hold of that, because most of us know that God has the ability, but sometimes we doubt that God is willing to do it in our life. And if we get to the place where we understand that God is willing, we can grab a hold of it and we can start to run with it and we can start to get the revelation that we need. And wisdom is the difference between that and religion, because religion is this information. Now, the second thing that Paul told Timothy about, and there's going to be a couple not so fun ones. Teaching we can handle. The second one's reproof. Reproof. You know, that's a little harder. It's hard to admit that sometimes we might be wrong. God forbid, right? That I could be wrong. But that's the truth. So reproof comes. Now what that's doing, it's not really a put down. None of these are really put downs, even though we kind of look at them that way. See, reproof is talking about bringing conviction and not condemnation. See, that's the difference. We have a loving Heavenly Father. Now, I don't know about you, but I being corrected is not, or, you know, being reproofed and things like that is not that fun. But if it's done in a manner that we can receive it and we can grow from it, that's the difference. A lot of things in the world, when people reprove us, they say, oh, you always, or you just. And before then, ooh, you got the barrier up, man. The force field's up. Not receiving from you. But see, the Word of God is loving. Oh, granted, it'll whap us upside the head sometimes. I ain't going to lie to you. You know, but it's all good. Because I know when it tells me something, it's for my best interest. Because now, one thing that we forget sometimes is that, you know, the Word of God is just not shooting for our outward actions. A lot of times we think that. You know, God's telling me, you know, I can't do this or I can't do that. It's really sometimes not God. It's usually somebody says, I'm speaking for God right now. And you're supposed to quit that and you're supposed to quit that. You know, and I'm not denying that sometimes God might speak to people sometimes, especially if we're, has anybody prayed this prayer? God, take my life. Do anything you want. Well, then you've opened the door for God to do that, right? Amen. You know, that's scary for some, but that's good. But, you know, sometimes when God does it, we don't want him to. But see, sometimes we just look at the outward action, but see, God is trying to fix the inner motive. If we can fix the inner motive, we won't want to do the action anymore. Just like alcoholism and things like that. Alcoholism is really not the problem. There's another problem underneath that problem that causes that problem to manifest. And once we can fix that inner motive, and that's why I really enjoy this freedom class, because it tries to deal not with the outward, but it tries to deal with the inward. And it gets us set free, because that's what God wants to do. You know, Hebrews 4:12 is a powerful scripture, and it talks about how the Word of God is the only thing that can deal with the thoughts and intentions of the heart. See, many people pay thousands of dollars to psychologists, and I'm not saying they're not needed sometimes and all this, but I'll be honest, they didn't create you. God created you. God is the one that can fix you. You say, that sounds so simple. It is. Very simple. God is a life-changing God, and he comes into our life, and he wants to heal us and fix us, and he'll give everything he does. I mean, God can do in a second what can take years of counseling. So, you know, as we see what God deals, and we start to deal with these inner motives and things that's there, and remember this, people, God loves us. He's not going to hurt us. So it's okay to open up to him. You know, rules in religion can only deal with those actions, but like I say, it's the difference in that and what God can do is that the Holy Spirit is the active person of the Trinity right now upon this earth. Amen. And that's how he can get to the inside of it. And I'll be honest, just like I said, God's been dealing with me with some things. You know, stuff I never even thought I had a really problem with anymore, because I don't consider myself having that real problem. Then all of a sudden, the Lord revealed some things like, oh yeah, maybe I do have a little problem in that area yet. I didn't get down on myself and say, oh, I'm going to give up. I just gave it to God. God, take this. I don't want to be this way. I want to grow more. And that's the exciting part about it. Well, the next one is talking about correction. Like I said, there's going to be two tougher ones that you may not like as good, but they're good. Now, the word correction, usually you think, you know, when we correct our kids, we're usually telling them, quit it, right? Don't do that. Stop it. What this is really meaning, the word correction in the Greek there is telling us to set right again, to set right again. And it's talking about, you know, something that's a little bit out of whack and wanting to put it back in place. And see, to me, what I receive from that, it's kind of fine-tuning our life. Maybe some of our process of doing things or the mechanics of how we're doing things a little bit off. And I like to use this illustration that, you know, when I was helping the kids with sports or dance and all that stuff with Kayla, although I didn't help out with dance, although she'd like my opinion on stuff. My wife's a little more talented in that area, or a lot more. If I would see something they weren't quite doing right, I would tell them, as any good parent would do. All right? And they don't believe me. You know what I did? I broke out a video camera. I videoed them, and praise God when iPads came along, it made it really faster. Because you didn't have, on the video camera, you had to video them and then plug it into the TV and watch it, you know, which took a little process. But with an iPad, video, hit play. You know, especially if they're trying to, you know, not to throw sidearm so much and they want to come up a little higher with the ball. Well, I'm not throwing sidearm. Oh, yeah. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Get the video out. Show them. Huh, I guess I am a little bit. Just a little fine-tuning. Still throwing strikes, but this will help them be a little better. And see, that's what correction does in our life. It fine-tunes us a little bit. It helps us to be able to maybe do things just a little better. You know, it brings maybe a little more excellence to our life. Maybe we're walking the Christian walk, but we're not really walking straight. You know what I mean? Maybe we're a little off in the ditch. You know, we're not where we exactly could be. And that's okay. As long as we're heading the right direction and let God correct us and bring zero us in a little bit. You know, I know the benefit of it because in the world or in religion, when we correct somebody, usually we just tell them what they did wrong. And we stop. And we don't really show them how to do it right. But see, the Word of God shows us how to do it right. And it's not intimidating. Because we know it's a book of love. It's a book that wants to bring proper relationship and understanding between His people and Himself. And that's why He gave it. Now, so when I think, like when I first started out, I had a large misunderstanding of probably what the Bible was about. And it came through being raised and I wasn't really in church. But I kind of viewed it as a book of don'ts. That's how I just looked at it. Don't do this. Don't do that. And nobody really ever told me the good stuff. They would just tell me the don't stuff. But once I got saved and I started to read it for myself, then I found out it was a book of how-tos. God showed me how I could walk. I'll tell you what. I love the fact that He has given us the ability to walk in victory. I don't know if that is important to you, but it's very important to me. I'm a warrior by heart. I'm a battler. I like to fight. I mean, I wasn't a fist fighter, but I mean, when it comes to spiritual things, you know, I hate it when the enemy comes in and starts to attack myself or my family or people in the church. And I thank God that through His Word, He has given me all the information that I need to be able to fight the good fight of faith, to be able to lay hold of that eternal life, to be able to beat back the devil and know that I don't have to bow my knee to him. I don't have to be afraid of him. Now, I don't go around boasting that God, you know, that look at me, but I do know that the greater one that lives inside of me, that I'm not alone in this battle anymore. It's not me against the world, but God is in me. And when I yield to Him and start to be able to follow His ways, and then I start to walk in His victories. And that's important. Because I, you know, heaven's going to be great. I know that. But why live in hell while we're here? Why? Why live in hell while we're here if we don't have to? If God has given us the power to overcome, why not overcome? Well, I don't know how. The Bible will show us. I will help you. That's part of my responsibility as a shepherd, as a pastor, is to help you. Because I know God's not a respecter of persons. If God can do it for me, He will do it for you. Because He does not love me any more than He does anybody else. And I love it. The greatest joy I have when I see people in the church grabbing a hold of this stuff and starting to live and walk in victory, where I've known before where they used to get all mad and drum it out, and you know what I'm saying? Where just, oh man, I give up, I quit, blah, 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 blah. Start blaming everybody. Instead of that, they blame the right person, the devil. Amen. And they blame the devil, and then they start to walk in victory, and they start to beat him back, and they use the blood of Jesus that makes a separation between the clean and the unclean. And they start to use the Word, because the Word has power. I'm overcoming this, and we start to do that, and all of a sudden, then they're starting to lead people to Christ, praise God, helping other people because they know that it works. See, that's what it's all about. And that brings us back to the idea that correction from the Word doesn't belittle us. Remember that. Correction doesn't belittle us, but it empowers us to overcome. And that's why it's important. I hope you're seeing some of the prophet today. Now, the last one, we're back into some good stuff again. Although the other stuff wasn't that bad, was it? Training in righteousness. Training in righteousness. Well, to me, this is when we're starting to walk in a little bit of a, not a higher level of God, but let's just say we've started to process some of God's revelation and implement it into our life, and we're starting to grow, and we're starting to see things happen. And so this is talking about instruction and bringing discipline to our lives. Now, I don't know about discipline. Some people don't like discipline, but to be honest, if you really look at this in the big picture, discipline brings delight. If we lead a disciplined life, we're going to have a delightful life. Because once we start to get into the flow of God's ways and God's Word, not hit or miss. You know, if we're hit or miss in things, like we're, you know, only attend church or read our Bibles 1.2 times a month, you can't really expect, you can't blame God, guys. Come on. You know, we've got to assume a little responsibility, you know, that maybe we're not applying this stuff, you know, the way that we could. Because it's all about getting into the flow and starting to do things in God's system. Every place has a system, and God's kingdom has a system. And when we get into that system of how He does things, we start to understand the how, and then we start to walk in the success. So it infers a system of discipline, like you're parenting a child. Most of us, like, or we've parented our children. You want to train them up in righteousness. I mean, how many want the kid at the grocery store that goes berserko, you know, when you go through the checkout line, and, you know, wants everything and won't listen? Kids are smart. They know when to attack us because they think that we're going to get embarrassed and give in to them. But once you train them in righteousness and you stand strong and you don't give in to their wicked ways, and yes, they are wicked ways sometimes. I know your kid's perfect, but, you know, mine weren't, so I know I can say this with full confidence. You know, that once you start to learn a system, and that when you say no, no means no, and you stick to it, then you start to see change. They know they can't get away with that. That's the same way with the, you know, if you beat back the devil enough, he's going to go pick on somebody of lesser faith than you. You know, he's going to try to attack you still. You're never going to get out of it. But for the most part, you know, he's going to get kind of fed up with it. Now,
What God does, He gives us positive guidance, and that's in training in righteousness. And this is what I want us to see. We live in such a negative environment that when we start to assimilate information and as we've been trained maybe through life, it's usually that we've been made afraid of the penalty. And I'm not saying that's a wrong way all the time, because I do believe choices have consequences. But when it comes to understanding the things of God, you know, we have to understand that God is going to be the perfect parent. He's going to be the perfect coach in our life. He's going to give us positive reinforcement in our life to want to see us grow. He's going to preach us up and not put us down. He's going to tell us what we can be, not what we are right now. You know, you can be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He's going to tell you that. We will always grow to the higher level when we know it's there. The reason why we stop is because we think we've maxed out. So here, this system of discipline, it leads to a holy life. And that's the goal. That should be your and my goal. We should try to want to live a holy life. And whatever that means to you, I'll be honest, it might mean something to you today, but in 3 or 4 years, it might mean something more. Why? Because you've grown. You've grown, so your way of looking at life and, you know, just like anybody that's older, now some of you are fairly really young, and you look at life in a certain way. But as you get older, you start to look at life a little bit differently. That's why, you know, sometimes it's better for older people to decide if we go into war or not than it is a young person. Because young people got their chest out, I'm ready to go. But somebody that's watched people die and knows what can happen, they're a little more careful before they make a big decision. And see, that's what I'm saying with maturity. You know, sometimes we look at things differently as we mature. And we should. And those who are mature need to look back at the ones who aren't there yet and give them a little grace, remembering where we were. You don't wake up one day and all of a sudden you know it all. It's a growth process. Getting into God, and then God gets into you. Amen? So, the goal should be is that we need to have an observable Christian life. Not a secret life, right? You know, some people say they're a Christian, but it's so, and they keep it a secret that God doesn't even know about it, right? You've heard of that? They keep a big secret. We need to have an observable Christian life, meaning that we want the process to start on the inside, come out to the outside so that we lead that sanctified life, which sanctified is a big Christian word that means set apart or holy life. Now, this is when it really starts to get profitable in our life, is when we start to see these things start to manifest, when you start to see some things happen. Like I've always given that testimony in my own life when I was working as an electrician. And one time, you know, I make a short story really short here. This lady was very rude to me at a bank. She was one of the secretaries there, and she thought she was the vice president. She had that kind of attitude, you know what I mean? We were working in her area, and we were told they were supposed to move everything. Anyway, I was working above her desk, and anyway, I don't know what happened. And anyway, she turned in a lie to me about me to my boss and just got all over it. And what amazed me was that when she accused me and spoke these lies, because I've only been saved about a year or so, that I didn't take it personal. Because before, I was a fairly qualified electrician. I would have said, I don't need this job. I quit. I'm not going to take your whatever. You know what I mean? I'm out of here. Pay me and I'm gone. But I didn't do that. I had noticed some of the process of God had started to take root in my life. And I humbled myself. And I took the spanking, shall we say, even though I did nothing wrong, and let God fight my battles. That lady was fired the next week. I kid you not. She got fired. I hung in there. But see, what amazed me was the fact that how the word had went into my heart And it changed my attitude. Not just about me, but it changed my attitude about others. And that's powerful. Because when we see people in a different light, we might treat them differently. And I think that would really help our culture today. Now, the surrendered life brings us a victorious life. To many here, life can sometimes seem like one big test. And, you know, we need to cram for that test by getting into the Word. You know, a lot of high school kids or sometimes college, they, you know, cram for the test. Just pour all this information in, hopefully it'll explode on the paper and hit all the right spots, right? You know, that's their goal. But, nevertheless, we need to see that I know in my life is that as I get a little older in the Word, that, and as a life sometimes will get a little more hard from time to time, is that the relevancy of the Word of God in my life is unbelievable. Just unbelievable. How much profit it brings me. And I know that that is very important. And as a pastor, like I mentioned, you know, I get really excited when I see people in the church grab a hold of the Word of God. I find no better benefit in my life than when I witness that from my own eyes. When I see somebody grab a hold, and when I see somebody that used to walk in defeat, and when something would come in and take them out of their game and they would fall for a while, but all of a sudden they start to stand and they start to fight back and they start to resist the devil and he will flee. They start to walk in that victory. And I know it doesn't happen overnight, but you know, steady growth is sustained growth. And I encourage you to, you know, get into the place where you see that the Word of God is profitable. And I know as Christians, I know I'm supposed to read the Bible. I know I'm supposed to pray. But let's get to the place where I get to read the Bible and I get to pray. Amen. Let's pray.